Dude, I had a friend, she took and she trapped an otter this year on her trap line. She trapped a huge otter and he had froze solid. Hey, can I come throw him in the sauna so he can de-thaw? So we took and I got a sauna in my house. So I lit up the sauna, man, because I got a hose in there and everything so I can make sure it's all clean. And dude, we were de-thawing this 3.5, 4 foot long otter in my sauna this year. It was absolutely
So,
hilarious.
yo, that's good stuff right there. That's some mission. That's some Uper. That's some
Dude,
Uper
that's pushing
shit
it even for me, man.
right there, I think.
The Upland Nomads podcast is brought to you by two guys that share a common passion, chasing birds and following our dogs through some of the most beautiful landscapes in the world, the Uplands. Join us while we have in-depth conversations with others from all over the country that enjoy and share the same passions as us. Welcome to the Upland Nomads podcast.
Well, since we're talking about it, we'll get into our podcast here with Jacob Perry from the Bird Dog Society. Jacob, do you want to? We might have touched on where you're from already, but you want to give us a little background about yourself, introduce us? And...
Yeah, so my name's Jake Perry. I'm from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I own my own business called Superior Upland. We guide upland hunts for rough grouse, woodcock, and then we also own a hunting preserve in the Upper Peninsula as well. So we've got a 120-acre hunting preserve, and in the summertime and early fall, we train dogs and get them ready for upland pursuits. So, and then on top of that, I'm the engagement coordinator for the state of Michigan. Well, not engagement coordinator, it's called ambassador. I'm the ambassador for the Bird Dog Society for the state of Michigan. So,
Nice. And how many? So you got a guiding business. Where? How many dogs do you got?
right now, adding Gordy, I'll be at 4 for this upcoming year for my string. So, it'll be pretty good. I say
Gordy.
string, but they all live in the house.
Gordy is probably the most famous one.
Gordy is something, man. He's got a personality of his own, man.
I saw your post the other day. I don't know what page it was on. He goes, good thing Gordy was sleeping, so he didn't realize that's what a pheasant looks like and get scared. That thing was a little sketch.
Was a little 1970s mascot-ish, you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys remember when, I don't know if you guys grew up playing the old NCAA football games, you could play as the mascots.
Oh yeah. I
That
think it was
reminds me of.
NCAA 04.
Oh yeah,
We
dude.
used to play as Goldie the Gopher.
Oh dude, I'm
He
telling you right now, man.
was quick, dude. He was quick.
Dude, I turned around and the pheasant, like, so I didn't realize that they had someone walking around in a mascot costume at Pheasant Fest. And I turned around and that was right in my face. And I was like, what is going on here?
Did we, Michael and I walked out of like the conservation area, like on the way right, and the pheasant was there and wanted to give me a hug.
No, that was the corn on the cob.
Was that a corn?
That
Oh, it's
was the
corn on
corn
the
on the
cob.
cob.
I
How do you
was
know you're in
like,
South Dakota?
yeah. I was like, no, I'm not much of a hugger, is what I told him.
You try to point at me like, oh, he's a hugger. And you're pointing at me. I'm like,
I was like, I'm not giving this random thing a hug. I'm freaking 27 years old.
no.
Like even if my kid was there, I probably would like not feel comfortable with him giving him a hug.
That is awesome. That mascot. Okay, I'll tell you what. The event is super awesome, man. I loved Pheasant Fest. I love everything about it. But the only thing that really scared me was when I turned around and I had a 6 foot tall pheasant looking me right in the face. And it's like old 1970s setup, you know. That freaked me out for a second. I wasn't ready for that. So.
Hey, Gordy slept right through it, so.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. I am so lucky that that dog is as chill as he is because I was praying the whole time. I think I said it on one of my buddies interviewed me. Would have been 2 days ago, and he said, you know, what was the thing you got asked the most at Pheasant Fest? And I said, people would walk by and they pet my dog and they go, man, we haven't heard a dog bark in here yet. you know? And I was like, I looked at her. I think I said to everybody that asked me, I said, well, it's all a bunch of professional dog trainers here. And if someone's dog started barking, there's going to be a lot of people that judge people. And she started, you know, they started laughing every time I said that, but it's the truth, right?
Right.
I was praying the whole time because Gordy's a puppy. So I was praying the whole time. I'm like, I know he's chill. I know we've done our work. I hope he doesn't wake up and just decide to have a cranky day. It was good, man. He was good the whole time. I was really happy. So
I would bring my dogs there, but it'd be like I'd walk around and with them on a leash and they would lift their leg at some point. I'd be sitting there talking and all of a sudden Rick's be lifting his leg, marking somebody's booth. It was like, you see the dogs there, that every dog's just like so well behaved. And I was like, my dog would just start lifting his leg, marking every freaking corner. It's like regular.
Hey, you raise alphas, man. That's okay.
That's right.
Alphas only, man. It's all good.
Cash, he wouldn't. He squats when he pees. So I don't have to worry about him.
I could say something, but I'm not going to say it. Is he a 2024 dog? Because that's all I was going to say.
No. He's a 2022 dog. Is he? What year did we go to Montana, Michael?
22. Yep.
22. Okay. Was it 22? Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, he was born. Yeah, he'll be 2 coming up here pretty soon.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was just super young when we took him to Montana. He was like,
wasn't he like 4 months old or something like that?
Yeah, he wasn't even 5 months. He was closing in on 5 months old, but he wasn't even five that. He, a little hellion. That
dog. Well, he loved it, though.
He did. At least he got better about retrieving, like giving the birds back this year. Yeah. He didn't like try to destroy the whole thing by the time he got it back to me. Now the dog is chill as all get out. I could bring him to Pheasant Fest, and he'd be totally fine. Riggs, on the other hand, no. He'd mark everything. Cash, I could, if he had, like, if I brought my couch with me, like, if we brought, if we had a booth and we just had a couch in the background, Cash would just lay there all day on the couch. I'd have to bring my couch, so.
Like, just throw it in the back of the truck.
Yeah. Put it in the back of the trailer. We're just bringing a 25-piece patio set.
And a cooler, a Busch Light.
No, Talker. That's part. It's just one chair and a 24-pack.
Oh, that's right. Hey, one chair.
Well, I figured you could sit on the box and just hand me another one.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Jake, getting into your hunting, we talked a little bit about hunting, but getting into your hunting background, who and what got you started in the uplands?
I'd have to say probably my dad, my grandpas. I mean, pretty typical story of most guys, right? Like, your relatives hunt. It's what they raise you to do. It's how you get into it. My grandpa, so kind of the area that I'm in right now, Upper Peninsula. I live in Western Upper Peninsula, Central Western Upper Peninsula. My grandpa had a camp up here. My grandma's from up here. Her dad's from up here. So I've been coming up here for years. And I mean, when we would come up, if we weren't deer hunting or before deer camp started, we would be going grouse hunting. So that's kind of how I got exposed to it. And then on the other flip side of it, my other grandpa was a very, very avid waterfowler. So that's kind of how I got into it, got into dogs, got to watch them train their dogs, you know. That's how I ended up getting into it. Kind of a stereotypical story. It's nothing, you know, it's the same story that a lot of us have, that, you know, some of our relatives took and had the stewardship to pass us on and teach us stuff. And that's why we are where we're at now. So.
In UP, you're just like, what are you mainly targeting up in the UP?
I'm a rough grouse and woodcock junkie. That's what I do, man. I'm all about the roughies and the timber doodles, man. That's what I target. It's what I gear myself towards all year. We have some pheasants on the west end, like the southwest corner, but they're planted. They're from a planting program and don't really go after them that much. But then on the east end, there's sharp tails. So you can hunt sharp tails, roughies, woodcock, and pheasant in the UP.
Really?
So, yeah. So I did the Grand Slam this past year. I got a public land pheasant. I got a sharp tail, roughie, and a woodcock.
All on the same day?
Yeah, no, not on the same day. It'd be impossible to do it on the same day, man. I mean, You'd have to drive 3.5 hours one way, come back 3.5 hours the other way to get your grouse or whatever, and then have to go 3.5 hours down to Menominee and go pheasant hunting. And it just, it wouldn't add up. The only problem with the UP, I love the UP and everything about it, but it's 55 miles an hour everywhere, man. So it takes a long time to get to point A to point B sometimes.
So you know, those are just a suggestion.
dude, I don't know, man. I'm not trying to come in through a small town, man, with a cop waiting, man. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna give someone a free. I was driving through South Dakota, man. It was just like that. There was like one cop sitting at the one stop sign in town. And I'm like, this guy's just sitting there, like, make my day. You know, like, I don't want that. I don't ever want that.
That was me leaving work today. I peeled out with a pickup, and I was like, and it's I think it's 40 on that, like, on the side roads. In town, and I was peeled out, and I got to like 45, and I was like, "Oh shit, there's a cop up there, sitting on the side." I was like, "Wow, I've never seen a cop on this road." And of course, he's sitting there today, and I was like, "Ah, shit, I better slow down at least 35. How long am I going past him?"
I get away with it sometimes. My dad's a police officer. Just like, I grew up like learning the tricks of the trade from my dad. Like, my dad would be driving, and he'd go, "Oh, that'd be a good spot to hide at." So like, as you like get older and like you're watching your dad and stuff, and he talks through, like, I'll be driving and I'll kind of be looking, I'm like, oh, there's going to be a cop sitting up here. So like, you're right. You can coast a little bit and go 65 sometimes in certain parts, but dude, I'm telling you what, man, I try so hard to not take and get pulled over up here, 'cause I just don't want that to happen in one of these small towns up here.
I say, I think our gravel road speeds are 65 miles an hour.
Really?
No way. Back,
no, there's probably no not. Way. It's the back roads. They're 65 though.
Got homeboy back here doing Dukes of Hazzard, drifting corners looking for roosters.
You haven't been hunting with me then. You know how fast I drive.
His plan is to hit the corner, slide, kick a bunch of gravel into the ditch to hopefully kick up some birds.
I'm usually driving that fast to get Michael to a porta potty somewhere.
That's usually true. Or I take your truck.
Yeah, just take my truck, yeah.
It's the bush lights. They'll get you. They sneak up every single time.
That's probably what it is.
And the gas station breakfast burritos.
Yeah. Just burritos and coffee definitely doesn't help either.
and the beer.
It's the holy trinity right there, man.
That's a day in the life hunting with us.
Oh, man.
Coffee, burritos, and beer.
I'm still trying to get sponsored by Quick Trip, man. I'm telling you right now, when I'm guiding, I'm telling you right now.
We're trying to get sponsored by Casey's. They drop them all the time.
I live off of Quick Trip for like a whole month and a half, dude. I'm telling you right now. It's just like, it's like breakfast pizza in the morning. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's like chicken strips, chicken tenders in the afternoon. I'm fueled by Quick Trip, man, for like that whole month and a half.
Let's say, what? Casey's, I could go in there and grab a couple slices of breakfast pizza, a couple monsters, and I'm like set for the day. But then it's like, I don't, like, in the summertime, I do not, like, it's winter, I do not touch Casey's unless I'm like, had to stop in there or something. Hey, body by Casey's.
It's an American winning machine right there, man.
Right. Keeps the machine rolling. So Superior Upland, like, when did you start that? How did that come about?
So we went to formation 2 years ago. I took in kind of how I got into it. How do I put it? I was always taking and going out and taking my buddies out, right? And I kind of started looking into things in the area and seeing how things were going. And I didn't really like what I was seeing from a professional aspect of things. I thought that there were people kind of not taking advantage of the resource, but not appreciating it the right way. So what I ended up doing was I wanted to take and bring something into formation that we don't price gouge people. We don't take and charge $1,000 a day to go grouse hunting. What we want to do more than anything is educate people on the land. We want to educate them on the birds. We really want to make it a whole inclusive, you know, whole inclusive aspect of what we represent, right? Like, we respect the resource above everything. And honestly, once the snow starts coming down, if I don't have booked clients, I don't hunt birds after that November quiet period, because I give them time off once the snow falls. So we really try and I wanted to do things a different way to help out the resource in my area. And that kind of what led to formation was I was already taking out my buddies. I looked into what people were doing in the area as far as outreach and guiding in the area already. And I just wanted to take and give something a little bit more with a little bit more stability and a little bit more credibility to the area is why we came into formation. And then coupled that with the bird dog training, got the opportunity to purchase a dog training facility and then also take over the preserve, which is about an hour from my house. So kind of trying to incorporate and get towards that one-stop shop for everything upland hunting in the Upper Peninsula is what we're trying to do. Trying to take and make sure that dogs and their handlers are educated correctly, give them that background so they can be successful with their dogs. That's why we took in, that's why we organized 2 years ago. So
nice. So is that what you do full time then?
This is going to make you laugh. During the week I actually teach. So, as of right now I teach, I got the coolest principal ever. Lets me guide full time. It's awesome. They're just, I've really found myself in a good situation. I love teaching though, man. I've always loved teaching. I always loved coaching. I used to coach wrestling. I used to wrestle in college. I love sports. I love the impact to give back to kids and stuff. But the goal is in the next year probably to be doing this full time. I couldn't have done it this year, but I just wanted to make sure, like I said, I want to make sure that everything's squared away and I want to run as efficient and professional as an organization as I can. So, but I school teacher in the week. We have Gordy Fridays. I bring in Gordy on Fridays for the kids. He hangs out with us on Fridays. So
it's pretty good, man. A lot of learning getting done on Fridays.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you what, man. I had him in, was it two Fridays ago before Pheasant Fest? One of the teachers had to go home, so I covered her class for her. And she like got violently sick right there. So like she had no less plans, no nothing. I walked in, she had a note. She said, "We're learning about migratory birds." And I was like, "Sweet, I'm gonna teach them about the timberdoodle," right? So I just walked in. I'm special ed background is what I do. So like I don't teach general ed normally. And I walked in, I'm like, "Hey guys, like I'm Mr. Perry. This is what's going on. I said, you guys are gonna learn about the timberdoodle." And I threw on the BG Stand Live and I threw a woodcock up doing his little dance on the projector. And I had the kids bobbing around the classroom doing the doodle dance, man. So I taught them the doodle dance. So next day, so when I came back on Monday, the teacher was there and she goes, "What are my kids talking about the doodle dance for?" Right. I was like, "Well, I was teaching them about a migratory bird that comes right through our backyard." So yeah, man, I love teaching. I do that. But this upcoming year we'll be moving to full time with the business. So
that'll be fun. So like preserve, do you have like release birds such that people pay to?
Yeah. We mainly use it for training purposes. How do I put it? I try and train, like when our mission statement is we try and train people to be able to have their dogs hunt wild birds, right? But as far as, and you get this because you're an athlete, right? It's all about reps. So like for a young dog, when you're coming out, the only way to certify that they're going to be able to go through and hit their training progressions is for them to have birds, right? Like you should not be doing an intro to gun without the stimulation of a bird. You should not be doing intro to bird with a bumper and feathers. In my opinion, it should always be a bird, right? So that's kind of what we do is we use that as a facilitation for owners, first-time owners, experienced owners to get their dogs on birds. And then we help transition them into hunting wild birds in the fall. I don't run big shoots. I don't run big corporate shoots out there and stuff like that. We just take them. We try and help people build as efficient of a wild bird dog as we can. So, but we do pheasants, chuckers, quails, your basic training birds. You know, I don't use pigeons a whole lot, but I use chucker and quail quite a bit. And then pheasants, of course. So
I say we use Michael and I have used chucker.
And the one survived what, how many months?
It went rogue. I thought I was going to, like, if I went to shout it.
It's like shooting a buddy at that point.
It was wild bird pretty much at that point. But it got it when we started training with chucker. Like, and we were using pigeons, and I bought some chucker from a guy. And then we put it at my father-in-law's place. And was it August? And it was like January, and that thing was like, and then we had like 4 feet of snow on the ground, and that bird was
holy still cow. Living.
I was like, but I was like one, like it was one chucker. And then I finally saw him, and Riggs pointed him, and I was like, I shot him with a 410.
It's like shooting one of your buddies at that point, man. That's
my father-in-law was like, well, I won't get to see him around the farm anymore because he'd be like up by like the farm, like the, up by the shop every once in a while. But there was like there was corn and grains by the grain bins and everything, so he didn't have to go very far. And there's tree rows, but I'm surprised he got picked. I shot that chucker. Tasted pretty good.
Shot his pet, man. He's feeding it out of his hand. He's going over to the grain bin and feeding it out of his hand. And you shot his pet chucker, man.
Oh, I paid for him, so.
I know. I'm just joking with you, man.
I know. But I was like, yeah. I've never heard of a chucker. Like, I was like, it was a pen-raised chucker. Like, it survived.
No, I can't get him to live more than a month. I can't get them to live more than a month up here. You know, like they're either going to get eaten by hawks or catch the parasite from the ground up here. So
right,
they like last tried, about a month up here where I'm at.
We tried getting like, we're going to try to, cause that was the time we got, that was Cash was like 2 or 3 months old at that point, 3 months old at that point. So we're trying to do a little pigeon and all that with him. But no, I asked for bobwhites and the guy's like, he's like, if you're training the puppy, he's like, I don't know. The bobwhites, my bobwhites just, they don't, they're a hit and miss. So like, they're just really fragile. They don't fly sometimes. So he's like, I'd recommend a chucker and pigeons because that's all he had, chucker, pigeons, and some quail. But yeah, the chucker they freaking wanted to get out of that freaking that trap that we had him in.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. I don't think there's a really a better. I love using chuckers for training birds. I really do, man. Because they're not going to try and beat up a dog when a dog grabs it, right? Like,
no.
They're not going to try and beat up a dog. And, you know, if your dog comes up and he takes and messes up his point or starts to creep or something, dude, the bird's going to fly 80 yards and land. Right. So you're going to be able to go up and get multiple points and flushes off of one bird, dude. That's why I love them so much. They're cool little birds, though, man.
That's what happened to us, and they went right in a full, went right in the sugar beet field. And I was like, well, let's go find them again. I got the video, I think, like the sunset, the beet piler in the background. Like, bird gets up, shot it down into the beet field. They're a little hardy little bird for being like a pen raised. I was surprised, I was like, holy crap. Like that was my first time ever dealing with him. Michael's a pigeon whisperer.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of made BB. All right, scrap the pigeon out of there. Oh, okay, sounds good.
You got gloves? I think we do actually.
So do you kind of source your chucker and quail and everything out, or do you raise them yourself at all?
So like my chuckers, I get them from downstate. I get them from West Michigan Game Birds. That's where I get them from. I drive about 6 hours one way to get them. Just for the simple fact of where I'm at in the Upper Peninsula, it's really hard to try and raise them. Just between like, there's a parasite that's in the soil that they can get from the northern climates. In the Upper Peninsula, we can have snow into almost June sometimes, so we never know. So it's like, as far as the variability goes on them, it's hard to raise them up here. My pheasants, I take care of all my pheasants. Take and raise them up. I've got a batch of them coming in 2 weeks. So we raise all them up and then get them ready. But the chuckers I outsource. And then pigeons we take and I get from a local supplier, but then I train them to be homers and stuff like that if I do end up using pigeons for anything. But I've really gone away from using pigeons this past year and really just focused on game birds for young puppies. So
all right, so yeah, I guess you have to basically build a foolproof pen if you wanted to raise a chucker up there, huh?
Yeah, you gotta put, well, there are guys that do it, but they put like 2.5 feet of sand and plastic down, and it's more work than I'd be willing to put in. I mean, if you talk like putting in the sand and all the stuff by the time it's done, it wouldn't be economical to raise a bird, you know, between feed and all that stuff. It just wouldn't be economical at that point.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun day playing on some equipment.
It would be fun, man. It would be a lot of fun, but like I said, man, I just pheasants, they can live in anything. I've got the big giant chicken trackers for my pheasants. I can take and pull them on new grass every day so they're not tearing each other up and stuff. But as far as the chuckers go, I've got big elevated off the ground pens for them so their feet don't ever touch the ground up here, and I try and keep them as healthy as possible, because if there's one thing that people like to harp on more than anything with a preserve or with training birds, they like to harp on if the bird doesn't fly, right? So I
Right.
try and always make sure my birds can fly. So that's why I drive all the way down to West Michigan and get those birds from down there, because his birds always fly. So
Getting into the Bird Dog Society, can you tell us what the Bird Dog Society is?
yeah. So the Bird Dog Society is an organization, it's a nonprofit that formed about 2 years ago. They're in their second year. They're at Pheasant Fest last year and then Pheasant Fest this year. They're a nonprofit dedicated to enhancing both the physical and mental well-being of dogs, bird dogs in particular, providing those resources for owners to be able to help their dogs progress and give them that support system. How do I put it best? So, like, basically, their mission is to enhance the physical speech impediment, well-being of dogs, right? So, what they try and do is provide resources and avenues for dog owners, first-time dog owners, people that may be having trouble with the bird dog, they don't really know what's going on. Try and give them events, avenues, resources, people, so that those dogs don't ever become part of a rehoming process. That's kind of what we're trying to do, is teach you how to manage your dog instead of taking and building that bond with that dog, and learning how to take and be successful instead of having it turn into a problem where you might end up rehoming that dog, or that dog and you might be having a problem together. So they organize events. They try and provide that literature. Really, they're just doing stuff that nobody has really done yet as far as offering a support system for bird dog owners across the country, not just upland birds, waterfowl, the whole nine yards, shed dogs. I mean, it's been pretty cool so far since I've been a part of it. So
So, as an ambassador for Bird Dog Society in Michigan, what does that job like entail?
what I do is I'm really in charge of like furthering their mission statement within my state, recruiting members. It'd be very similar to an engagement coordinator position. Trying to take and help people get to the point to where we can form chapters, expand fully throughout the state. And then I help host an on the ground event every year that I plan. So I'll be hosting an event this upcoming year with the members that I've taken recruited in the state. And so it's just basically being an engagement coordinator position, getting boots on the ground, furthering their mission, making people feel welcome. We don't want anybody to take and feel like they shouldn't be there. And just really making sure we incorporate everybody that wants to take and be a part of or take advantage of those resources to help them out and make their dog successful. So,
Nice. So what does like a typical event like consist of?
they've done everything, field trials to they're going to be doing a shed hunt at the end of this month, down in the Appalachians. So they'll take it. It could be anything from organizing a how-to event, an actual trial. They ran a trial just a couple months ago, or it could be something as simple as a care clinic. They're going to be doing one of those as well, coming up this next month as well. Like what would happen, like dog triage, like if your dog was injured in the woods, caught in a trap, just trying to provide all of those resources to help make you a better dog owner, especially if you're going to be out in the woods.
So with your superior upland, are you kind of like and like enacting what Bird Dog Society stands for, with like the training grounds and everything you have?
So I don't ever try and have that become a part of my business, right? I try and keep that as separate as possible. But I think that the reason why I've really enjoyed helping out and like being there at the booth and helping them out and stuff is because it's how I've always, like I said, when I formed the company, right? Like I was looking at how people were doing things and I wasn't liking what was happening to people that were going through the systems in place in my area, right?
Yep.
I have always really tried to embody those principles into my business and what I do and how I interact with people, right? I mean, literally on my page, right, it says quality experiences with quality people, right? Like that's what I try and do and try and build, right? I want it to be a quality experience with quality people. And I think that's what Bird Dog Society does, is that they want you to have a quality experience with educating yourself. They don't ever want you to feel awkward, right? They want you to make you feel like you have a support network and that you really are a steward of. We focus on the dog so much as the end product, right? What we forget along the way is that it's really a way for us to network and meet good people too along the journey, right? Like we met at Fest again.
What the heck? That's so weird.
Is your Wi-Fi good?
I know, dude. I got everything. I'm good.
Right. Well, my Wi-Fi is pretty good too up here, so I don't know what.
Yeah, my Wi-Fi is full bars. So...
yeah, I don't know why it keeps kicking me out.
Is Zoom retaliating against us or what?
I don't know, man.
Sensor.
They don't like honey anymore.
Yeah. But yeah, I try and keep them as separate as possible, man. I really do.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't ever want it to seem like I'm trying to use something as a platform for something it's not, if that makes sense. Yeah. I truly believe in the mission statement of what they've got going on at the Bird Dog Society, and it's kind of always how I already live my life anyways, so it's something that I don't mind lending my time to when I can.
So what type of event are you going to try to put on, like, or have you put on in the past?
So right now what I'm thinking for this upcoming year is I was thinking doing a rough grouse woodcock clinic for some of my members downstate, right? There's a lot of people that have dogs that they don't understand, you know, necessarily covers or how to be safe or like what happens if your dog runs into a trap. I had a dog run into a trap this year, and like if I wouldn't have been an avid trapper, I couldn't have imagined how it would have turned out for my dog, right?
Gotcha.
So it's like It was engineered. It was a foothold, but someone took a angle grinder and cut teeth into the one side of it. So I don't know. Yeah, dude, the thing was nasty. Like I wish I could take and send you guys pictures. It cut through the tendons, every single tendon on the left rear foot, right here on my short hair, all the way to the top side. And the only thing holding on his foot was this skin and this meat right here. So
how's that even legal?
It's not legal.
Don't your traps have to be marked in that too?
Yeah, they have to have your name on the whole nine yards. Like we called the DNR and everything. And hindsight is 2020, right? I threw it on Facebook right away because I didn't want anybody to take their dog out in that area. I think whoever it was must have saw the post online, because when I came back out there was three traps that were pulled that I found afterwards. You know, where you could tell where they were at. You could tell the guy had pulled them. I don't know necessarily what he was trying to accomplish out there, but yeah. So like, that's what I want to do, is really raise, you know, have an event that incorporates all of that. Like if you're going to be taking advantage of our state's resources, I want to take and do a rough grouse woodcock clinic downstate, but also incorporate, you know, safety, triage, the whole nine yards. So.
Yeah. Was your dog fine? Like, was he okay after?
I call him Velociraptor now because all of his tendons healed. Right. But he's got one toe that sticks up like this. He runs around. He gets around good, man. But yeah, I call him Velociraptor because he's got one toe that sticks up just like a Jurassic Park Velociraptor, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I'll tell you what, man, having a good vet, man, and having them on dial, I mean, I was able to call my vet, and the only thing he asked me was, are we saving the foot or are we cutting it off? You know? And my dog was 5 minutes in there and already getting administered and being getting ready put on the table. So... having a good vet, dude, is a big deal. So, but yeah, he's Velociraptor now.
Well, at least he didn't lose his foot.
That's... Yeah, yeah. He's German too, man. So he's stubborn.
Those dang German dogs. So, like, what does the future look for the Bird Dog Society? What are they, like? What's the mission like? I don't know if they have like anything in North Dakota, or I've looked at their like Instagram page a little bit, but I haven't had like a time to dive deep.
Yeah, so they just started expanding into different states. They started out primarily in the Carolinas and the East Coast. Just started expanding outwards, and when we got to Pheasant Fest, I think the farthest west we had a state ambassador was in Minnesota.
Okay.
But I think that there were a couple candidates at the South Dakota, North Dakota state level from being at the event. So they're definitely gaining a lot of momentum. I mean, if you guys have been watching, they've been gaining a ton of momentum in our world, moving westward. And it's just a good society ran by good people, man. It's just nobody really has an ego. It's all about the betterment of what we're doing. And I just love it, man. It's been a blast so far.
Good to hear. So going into you talked mentioned Pheasant Fest was we met you at Pheasant Fest at the Bird Dog Society booth and Gordy. We met Gordy first actually. I
A lot of people
was
did.
giving Gordy treats, so
He at one point, I don't know, well, you got kids, but you got a young kid, but I don't know if you guys ever seen Wreck-It Ralph when he's like sliding the cupcakes and the pancakes to the thing. There was a point one day where these kids kept giving him treats over and over and over again, and Gordy's belly was like this. And he just like they put a treat in front of his face and he just didn't eat, he just like licked it, just like laid down, dude. He got so many treats, but I wasn't letting people give him like actual treats. Like I feed a Nookchuck for all my dogs, right? So like a
I
Nookchuck was
noticed
right
it.
over behind us, like 2 rows over. So like I just went over and got one of the little bags of a Nookchuck, and that was what I was giving people to give treats for him. So yeah, super
So
funny.
he was just getting his food for the
Oh, dude, 100%.
day. Yeah. To earn it. So, is that your first Resin Fest?
Yeah, that was my first one. I used to do a lot of stuff with SCI. I used to go to the SCI show, Safari Club International. But this was my first opportunity to take and go and help out at Pheasant Fest. I volunteered to go and help out the Bird Dog Society booths. These are all volunteers, but yeah, dude, I just was kind of blown away at how big it was. So I've been to the SCI shows, and I always thought that those were like just so big. And that nothing could really compare to them. And then we went to Pheasant Fest and I was like, dude, this is just as big as an SCI show. It was a little bit mind-boggling how big it was there.
Yeah, we went to been to Omaha too, and that was different. Like this year was different than that year because everything was like in one arena. So like we tried going to Final Rise booth that year, and there was no getting into that booth at all. Like
Just
we tried
packed.
trying our best to yeah, but like this year, so it was like, oh, you could actually like, well, I can intermingle, and they're Barathonics even, because at the time when we went to Omaha a couple of years ago, that one was Onyx had their own booth. There were just so many damn booths, but I felt like it was like the Bird Dog stages and that were all. We got chairs at a couple of them this year. There was like standing room only.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Dude, I only got to go to probably like between like the potty breaks with Gordy and stuff. I probably only got to hit 35% of the booths there. I just couldn't take in. It was just too much, man. Like for the limited amount of time that I had between helping out the booth and stuff, like I only got to pretty much go see my buddies and stop every 5 seconds for someone to pet Gordy and then get back to my booth. So I didn't really get to take everything in, but it was kind of crazy how much stuff was there.
That's how we just go. We just go to take everything in, talk to
And grab
people, meet
every single
the.
shotgun there.
Yeah.
Oh, this one feels right. Oh, it's $3,500. Maybe in the future.
And spend money
How
on
much does a
stuff.
kidney cost? All right.
Oh. Yeah, you need. I kept myself to a budget, so I was pretty happy with that. I only went over a little
Define a little bit.
It was only like, I think it was $100. Not
That's
so bad.
awesome. When I'm a
Yeah.
little bit, it's usually sleeping on the couch. So,
No, she's like, you did better than I thought you would. And I was like, yeah, I didn't come out too bad until my pike gear thing showed up today. I was like, yeah, I got that at Fathom Fest.
Got a burner account with a different card, and all of a sudden it actually shows up at your house.
I was like, it's gonna show up at my house. So I was like, either she gets the mail or she doesn't get the mail that day. So. But she gets everything sent to her phone anyway, so there's no at any time mail she gets to the house, she knows what's coming. She's like, you got a package. And I was like, yeah. It's like, what is it? So I get Pheasant from Pheasant Fest. So was Gordy, would you plan to bring Gordy there the whole time, or was that just a happen chance?
So like I said, we have Gordy Fridays at the school, so I bring him to school and get him socialized and stuff. And I mean, it's nice to have a dog at a booth because it definitely pulls people to the booth, right?
Right.
So, especially, and then if you got a puppy, it's like 10 times more. So got him trained up. Plan was to bring him with me, get him there, and yeah. So he was always planned to go there. And we kind of prepped the whole month beforehand because I got him about a month and a half before. So really try to get him desensitized and ready for that. And I think that's why he acted so good. So
That's good. Yeah, he was a good one earlier. He probably had already seen like 400 people, 400 or 500 people at that
dude, I don't even know, man. He probably seen a couple thousand people over a course of a couple days. So
but well, he set a record, you know. Could have saw 34,000 people.
oh my God.
Wasn't it like 35, 34, 35,000? They set a record, I think.
I believe it, man. It was packed.
Yeah. That Omaha one, though, if they had 35,000 people, like, I'd say even if it probably was closer to 20,000 people on that Saturday. I don't know if that place would have held it.
I don't know, man. That's a lot. Even between three rooms, it's a lot of people, man.
Right.
That's an insane number.
Right. There's like, what, 300 booths, too. So it's a fun event. It's crazy.
It's just a good time, man. Everybody I met there was just good people.
Yeah,
So
well, that's the problem. You get to start talking with somebody, and it's like, oh crap, it's been an hour already. Shit.
like, hey,
Right.
there's like three more booths I want to go to.
Well, we talked to you for a little bit, but we probably saved on some time there because we already had to go to the bathroom. So,
Yeah. It's always nice to have that too. Like if you ever get caught in an awkward conversation, oh, sorry, I got the dog out.
that's what you're doing to us. All
Oh,
right.
dude, I'm just busting, man. I'm just busting, yeah.
We talked we met another friend we hunted with before, the Hunt Ready guys. We spent a lot of time chit chatting with quite a few people. Tyler from Birds, Booze, and Buds.
Yeah.
Then we went golfing.
Went golfing?
Yeah.
Well, indoor golfing was
What's
a
golfing? I
simulator.
feel like I'm missing something.
We went golfing,
Oh,
like
okay, there
actually,
you go.
we went indoor golfing.
I was like, dude, there's 45 mile an hour winds there, man. Like, there's no way you're gonna ever tee off there.
Oh,
It
we live in North
was
Dakota.
windy,
That's a typical golf day.
man. Dude, that's why I live in the woods, man. I gotta have something to take and help me out because I already suck as it is, so.
Yeah,
I'm
just
right
wait.
there with you. My golf game is about just as good as my shooting ability.
Dude, I'm one of
Awful.
those people that I get better with every single beer I drink, man. I am one of those golfers. That is the golfer I am. I embrace the role.
I'm one of the golfers that don't drink because I don't want to ruin my score.
Don't worry, I'm with you there. In my own mind, when I start drinking, I get better. Maybe not to other people, but in my own mind.
Yeah, we were
Gets more
both
tolerable.
drinking at the sim.
Oh, yeah.
We were on the same team at the simulator that night, and we had like a 3 or 4 shot lead, and by the end of the night, we had no shot lead. We were both 3 sheets to the wind.
By the end, it was, I cranked that. You're in the other fairway. Yeah, but it went like 340.
Yeah, we were. That ride home on Sunday was rough. I just remember I was like, I gotta get to a gas station and get like something. And I was like, oh, breakfast sandwich sounds terrible right now. I'm just gonna get some donuts.
No, I got coffee, man. I think I lived off of coffee the whole way back because I had to come back to work on Monday. I had to teach on Monday. So I had to pull that whole.
How far of a drive is that?
It was like, I want to say it was like 13 and a half, almost 14 hours once you bring
Thanks.
in stops and stuff.
Did you work on Sunday too, or not really?
I took and stayed until noon and then I left. So I didn't get home until like 3:30 in the morning.
Thanks.
So
That was a rough Monday for you,
yeah, it was all right, man. Just throw on a movie, hang out. I'm just joking.
but.
No, you gotta do your job. You gotta do your job. But it was one of those things where I got home and it was like 3:30 and I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta be up for work in 3 hours. But
little bad teacher action, just
oh dude,
to
that's what I was joking towards, but hey,
turn
hands on.
it back. Hey, it's more
Yep.
like a history teacher. You can throw on any movie as a history teacher.
Oh dude, I wish, man. Now, you know who hasn't made gym teachers, man?
Oh
Gym
yeah.
teachers. Telling you
Go
right now.
play
You
dodgeball.
could be hungover as shit, I think, as a gym teacher. And it'd be like, yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you right now,
Until
you
like the
get paid
kindergartners
the
or
same
preschool.
amount. What?
Until the preschoolers or the kindergartners came in there, and there was like screaming chaos, and you're just like, oh, fuck.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, though, gym teachers have it made, though, man, because they get paid the same amount and they get to wear sweats every day, dude. You know what I'm saying? It's
Right.
just, they have it figured out, man. Looking back, hindsight should have done on that.
They knew what they were doing.
They did. They understood the assignment. They really did.
So getting into the end of our show here, Jacob, we always have a few questions for our guests at the end. Don't have to be rapid fire or anything, but we'll go, I'll start with number one here. Favorite bird to hunt?
Woodcock, hands down. Hands
Hands
down,
down.
man. Yeah, I'll tell you, just some of my best memories with my dogs. I mean, almost, and where I live, almost everybody's dog, their first like true point that you shoot a bird over is going to be a woodcock, right? It's the bird that plays the nicest for young dogs. So I think there's just something almost like innocent and pure about them, about how they let young dogs play with them and point them. And I love them, man. They're a cool bird.
Definitely not nice like a pheasant.
No, or a grouse. Lord forbid it's a
They
grouse.
don't play by them rules.
No. No.
All right, our second question we got here for you is, what's the favorite place that you have ever been hunting?
I'd have to say my favorite place I've ever been hunting is probably actually, and this is not an upland bird hunting adventure, but was South Texas. I loved South Texas. That was awesome. Went a Nilgai guy hunt down there 2 years ago. I got to shoot a bull. And dude, I'll tell you what, just the culture, the food, getting to hang out on the bay, and then getting to harvest a big Nilgai bull, dude, that was like the coolest thing ever. And my guides talking shit talking me in Spanish the whole time, and they didn't think I could understand them, but I understand Spanish pretty good. So it was super funny. They kept going. They're like, because when you're guiding people, you don't really know what's going on. And they're like, can this guy shoot? Can this guy shoot? I don't know if he can shoot. We can't take him here because we don't know if he can shoot. Blah, 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 blah. And finally, I just fired back at them in Spanish. I was like, yo, I can shoot. And then they
They're
were
just like,
like, what? Yeah, that's what they did, man. They had no idea. But I'll tell you what, man, like, we went Nilgai hunting in the afternoon, and in the mornings, we were red fishing and flounder. And it was just. It was such a cool area, and it's something that was like so totally off the map that you wouldn't expect for an area to go and have a great time in the outdoors. It's probably my favorite place I've ever been.
okay, well then, since it's not upland, favorite place that you want to go upland hunting?
I'm really excited to go to Wyoming this year. I think we talked about it before the show started, but I'm gonna go do sage grouse out there this year. Super pumped for that. I'm hoping to get my one short hair on a couple, and then hopefully maybe get Gordy on a couple. I really want to take and go out and just have a good time and enjoy that topography landscape. Go out there this year. It's something that's always appealed to me is heading out there. So
You'll have fun. It's a fun time. Long trip, but it's a fun time. I
I'm
mean,
super excited.
any day hunting is better than anything else.
Dude, if I got 24 hours in a day. And I'm one of those guys, man. I look at a drive and I go, okay, if it's 5 hours there, 5 hours back, that gives me 14 hours to go hunting and sleep. So I'm one of those guys.
All right, third question is kind of a two-parter. What's the gun you're shooting now, and what's like your dream gun?
So the gun I was shooting had a I don't really get to go hunting for myself a whole lot anymore because I'm guiding all the time. But the one that I really liked was I inherited a Model 37 Featherlight. It was an Ithaca. Really liked taking that gun out. It was perfect for the grouse woods. It was 20 gauge light, maneuverable. It was a great gun. And sad story about that gun was my dad tried to help me clean it. He was trying to be a nice guy and clean my gun for me. And accidentally broke it. So that gun is now done. So I am in the market for new guns. So I'm probably going to be getting a gun from Upland Gun Company coming up here in the next month. I plan on ordering a gun from them. So,
nice. Big money.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. I'm one of those guys where I'd rather spend the money one time than spend it six times. So
I'm one of those. I'll buy once and cry once.
So. Yeah, that's exactly how I am, man. Buy once, cry once, call it good. And like I
that's
said,
how
and
I
don't,
feel.
What was
that's
that?
How I feel with my Nookshick bill here that's coming up here.
Did you order a pallet?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What'd you get?
Well, I got Marine and some 3025.
Okay. So, yeah, so you're going to feel it a little bit.
Well, I bought it before, so it's not the first time.
Okay. Okay.
But no, there's a few of us that get together and we split a pallet because I don't need a full pallet for two dogs. So.
No, you wouldn't go through that in a whole year, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good stuff though.
Yeah, I've been feeding it since 4 years ago now.
That's about when I started feeding too, man. It's such a superior. Well, I shouldn't say it's just such a good product for working dogs, man. My dogs are able to process and keep their weight on. I love it. Yep. It's been fantastic.
I switched over to 32 because my oldest short hair drops a bunch of weight like crazy during hunting season. So
yeah,
that one helps maintain. So
yeah, we do that during hunting season. And then right now, especially the Gordius, which everybody over 26, because it's just a nice one to maintain them on. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing right now, maintaining. And then once we get ready towards season again, we'll bump them up again. But dude, I'll tell you what, man. It's been because my short hair dude, he would lose 15 pounds in a season running before I started getting him on that. And I got him on it, and he's just responded so well to it. I'll never use another dog food.
Yeah, Riggs would get, you could see like his whole spine, his hip bones, all his ribs just didn't look good. But it's like he's eating, like I don't. And he was eating 3025, and I was like, maybe I need to bump up the formula. And so we did, and that ended up helping him out, and he was able to keep weight on after long weekends.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's been good for him. And then Cash has been on it since he was born, so, or, well, since we got him.
But, yeah.
So he doesn't know any different, so. Still eats just as fast as he did the first day, so. Michael, you guys
are lucky with that one there. I got the special vet diet for my dog. Got to pay an arm and a leg every month just to get her food. She's allergic to...
What do you feed your dog?
It's Royal Canin hydrolyzed protein. She's allergic to so many things that she has to have a specialized food. So, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Got that bougie food.
Yeah. She, yeah.
He's got that bougie food.
Michael's cooking her up food every night.
Yeah.
No.
Is it a female dog?
Yeah, she is.
Female.
Yep. Female cocker spaniel.
Gotta have the best. Gotta have the best.
Yeah. Alrighty. On to the next question we got for you. What's your favorite bird dog? But it can't be one that you own.
Or have owned.
Oh, there we go.
I got two. Can I do two?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I met a gentleman this summer from the older gentleman that I bought the preserve from, right? He had trained a dog last summer. He goes, this dog is fantastic. You're going to love this dog. He said it was a golden retriever. And I was like, so typically, like, you think about golden retrievers and you think of the big giant golden retrievers, right? So my one buddy, he's got a golden retriever named Albert. And that dog is probably one of the best bird dogs I've ever seen in my life. That dog, he's a flusher, but I'll tell you what, he doesn't get out and work too far. And he is a grouse finding machine. I mean, I saw a couple times last year that they shot their limit of grouse, which is a hard thing to do in the UP. They shot their limit of grouse a couple times last year. And he was posting on the Grouse Hunter pages and stuff like, me and Albert had a good day. These guys are trying to beat him up, you know, saying that a golden couldn't hunt like that. And I'm like, yo, like this dog can hunt. You know, like I've been out with it. Like that dog can hunt. And then my other buddy's got a drot. Shout out to the Lundberg brothers. They got a drot named Theo. He is a stud. He's like one of those big 90-pound drots. And it doesn't matter if it's ducks. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, upland game. He's just a big goofball and a big lover. He's just a great dog to be around. So those are probably my two favorite dogs that aren't mine.
Nice. Golden, I think that's the first, Mike.
I think it is. I was shocked, man. I'm telling you right now, like, Albert is a stud, man. And I tell everybody I meet that Albert's a stud.
So what's on the horizon for this upcoming season for you? You and Gordy and the pack.
We're going to be going to Wyoming. Then we're going to be hitting guide season pretty hard. We got the whole month of October, no days off. And then we're going to be going to the Dakotas, North and South Dakota in November. And then we're going to come back and we're going to sit by the fire in December and January and just kind of enjoy the year. So maybe chase some quail in the Southwest, but that's about it.
And the sauna.
Yeah, the sauna, man. Right by the river. Do a plunge after you get done. It's the best.
Oof. I could not do that.
Dude, I'm telling you what, man. Once you start doing it, it's the best. You get addicted to it.
I can't even sit in a hot tub. I hate sitting in a hot tub. Cold tub. I've done plenty of cold tubs.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's an athlete thing, man. You're used to doing the cold tubs. I mean, think of it like that, dude. Like, when you get out of the sauna, you're, like, impervious to the cold. Like, you can take a sauna and step out in 0-degree weather and feel like you're just standing on a summer day.
Right.
So, yeah, man. I'll tell you what, man. They are so good. I love them. I feel so much better every time I take one. So,
are they having beers in the sauna?
That's a dangerous game, man. I have rules right on my sauna, and and they're all written in like heavy Uber Sisu, right? It's like the sauna rules, you know. And it's like if you drink, you might get too tipsy and fall off the top end. That's what it says. So like, you got to be real careful if you drink, dude, because if you have like two drinks and you go in there, man, you can be real hammered in like 3 seconds. So.
This question is not on there, but it's for the Upers. It's a question I have for myself. I was just wondering, with deer season being as big as it is in Michigan, do you guys watch Escanaba in the moonlight, like pre-gaming for opener? Or?
It depends on who you ask, right? So, like, a lot of the hardcore Upers up here take offense to some of that stuff, and a lot of them love it, right? I'm telling you right now, like, there are people up here that are like the Jimmer dude that can take in. I've seen dudes that can drink 50, 60 beers and still be able to go out brook trout fishing, like, and catch a limit of brook trout. Like, there are some people up here like that, man. I'm telling you right now. But I would say probably about 50 or 60% of deer camps up here probably do watch that, like, the night before, like it's Christmas, just to be funny, you know, right. Hang out, have that atmosphere. But there are some that hate that movie too. So it's you got to find the balance, right?
Right. I mean, I love that movie. It's the hard-hitting questions you got to.
Dude, I love that movie, though, man. Yeah. My dad got me a shirt that said my Chevy shook shit. You know, so I love it, man. I love that movie.
I need to watch that. I haven't watched that movie since I was a kid. I don't even know where you can watch it now.
You can watch it right on YouTube. It's free on YouTube. Yeah, really? You can literally watch it right on YouTube. I've done it many a time.
I remember watching it on VHS, dude.
Yeah, it's dude, you can literally like type in Escanaba into Moonlight and like the whole 2 hour movie's there for free on YouTube.
Oh, good stuff. Hard-hitting questions. So,
It's the content that the people
yeah,
want.
it is. It is. I mean, we're not super serious, so you haven't been
No, I
able to
know, dude.
tell.
I love it.
I said we like to act like we're at bird camp. So Jake, where can people find you on Instagram or whatever socials you got, I guess.
So I've got a social. So I've got social media. I've got Instagram, Facebook, it's Superior Upland, all one word. And then I also have a website, www.superiouplandllc.com. Even if you guys aren't wanting to come up and do a guided hunt or anything like that, I'm a dude where I always field questions and try and help people out. So if they're coming up to the area, they're concerned about, we talked about wolves beforehand. If you're concerned where there's wolves at, where there's not, I'm one of those dudes where I try and use, my code of ethics and stuff like that. I try and make sure that I help everybody out I can when they're coming up in my area. So
That's awesome.
feel free to
And
reach out.
can people book hunts like right through your Instagram page too, like through your website?
100%.
Sweet. Go check it out, Superior Upland on Instagram, Facebook,
Yep.
the interweb.
Interwebs.
All right, everybody. Thanks for following along another long and winding episode.
Many turns.